So it was blessed by the opening this morning. Talked about a little bit about taking us humans from dust and making us something special, something that is the apple of God's eye. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about. We are here to praise and bring glory to God. That's what we are here for. And in order to do that, we have to allow God. We have to first have to accept God into our heart and to allow Him to work in our life. And just because we are born again does not mean that God is done with us. Does not mean that we are that shiny, bright jewelry that God is looking for. But He takes us and He works. He's got some work to do yet. I have something in my pocket here. And you probably, all of you probably know what that is. It's not a whole lot of value to me right now with my cell phone that I have carry with me about all the time. But this here used to be just as important to me as my cell phone is to me now. It keeps time. And not just that, I want to talk about God's jewel. God's jewel. Being God's jewel. If I can open this, I know you can't see it from up here, but it's got 17 jewels on the inside. And for those of you that has never seen a watch on the inside, I know you can't see it, but there are 17 little jewels inside of this watch. And there are the bearings and the pivots and whatever all. And if you, this is a wind-up watch, and you wind it up in the morning when you get up, and it lasts 24 hours if you wind it all the way up. So it was very important to me at one time, and it's kind of an expensive watch. My dad gave it to me, and I think he bought all his boys one of those before they, when they turned 21. And it's got jewels in it. So what I want to talk about is being a jewel for God. I don't want to say something that will hurt anyone. I don't want to say what I'm saying is for me as well as for anybody else. If it's the Word of God, it don't matter who we read it to or who we tell it. It's for each one. But now I can add things that might not exactly be the way everybody sees it, and that's fine. If I say something that is not right, you can tell me. But if we are a child of God, we are a precious jewel. We are a jewel to God. And jewels are made out of stones, gemstones or stones. It can be called a jewel or a gemstone or gems. And they were very important back in the days, back in the Old Testament, back in the days, they were very important stones. Does any one of you know what kind of, or these stones have different names? I might try to pronounce about some of them, but I'm not very good at pronouncing them. But one of them would be sardius, and another one is topaz, something like that, and diamond. We're all familiar probably with diamond, know what that is. Beryl is another one. Onyx, if I pronounce that right. Jasper. Sapphire. Emerald. And carbuncle, however you pronounce that, is another one. And gold. And they were very important back in the days, and in order to serve God or to be a part in God's kingdom, you had to know the difference of those stones. You had to know. You can find that in the Bible. I'm not going to page to that, but I'll just give you a little bit of, let you know why. It's because that the high priest had to wear 12 different stones, had to have four rows of those jewels across his jacket or whatever he wore there, and they had to represent the 12 different types of Israel or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but they were very important. And also the Ten Commandments, anybody know what kind of stone it was that the Ten Commandments were written on? And I'm not sure that it would have had to be that stone, but it was one of these stones. And it was a blue, not a gray. The way I understand, if I looked into history right, it was a blue, which was a sapphire, I think I'm pronouncing that right, sapphire, was the Ten Commandments were written on one of those. And jewels is something that, actually I got a few pictures, jewel is something that is known widely. Universal. It's something that symbolizes beauty and wealth. God considers his people his jewels, and his goal is to beautify them that they might shine as jewels. Jewels are used as a display of power and wealth, and the Bible says the lips of knowledge are as precious jewels. And right here that's not very shiny, but those are some jewels right there. It's just the Lord's jewels. And Malachi 3:17 says, "And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that served him." So someday, God will gather up his jewels. "I will spare them as a man spares his own son that served him." And right here are a few jewels. That blue one there, blue diamond, yellow diamond, and green. I know that jewels are not that important to us today here. We don't dress up with jewelry. There's another diamond, yellow diamond, red diamond, and that clear one there. So I know you can't see much that far off, but jewels were important back in those days, and they are still to some people. But I don't recommend buying jewelry and adoring you with the jewelry. I don't recommend that. But it is still something that is in the world that is very common and expensive. It does have some expensive jewelry. So who is the ultimate example of a godly person, of a bright, shiny pearl or jewel? Who fears God? Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is our example. When the eternal Son became incarnate, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ delighted in the fear of God. And he kept God's covenant. He always did that which was pleasing in the sight of the Father. And the Father's will prospered in his hand. Let's turn to Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 10. Gives us, we'll find a description of Jesus' life. And just explains who Jesus was, our great example of being a bright, shiny jewel. Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 10. It says, "The Lord God hath made me the tongue of the learned, hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." So that is Jesus. That is Christ Jesus. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore shall I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." So that is talking about Jesus there. And in verse 8 says, "He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together." So who all wants to be content with Jesus? Who wants to come after Jesus? I believe we all do want to do that. He is telling us, let us stand together and be like Jesus and be what God wants us to be, that bright and shiny jewel that he is going to come and gather someday. To glorify God, to glory. That is our future, our destiny. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. As the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He's asking us to suffer with him, to suffer with Christ, so that we can be glorified together. I will come to some of that suffering maybe a little bit later on, some of the things that we have to go through, that we go through in order to make us shine, in order to become closer to God. So now the gems of God's special treasure are being worked on. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So at this time, we as God's stones, as God, as the gems, we are still being worked on. God is still working on us. We're going to be God's special treasure someday when He comes to gather us and to preserve us, or gather us to take us with Him. And what is this little time here on earth that we suffer, going through hard times, suffer things? It's nothing to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when we go to be with Jesus, with God. That's going to be forever and ever. And while we're here on this earth, it's just a little time, just a small space. It's not, sometimes it seems like a long time. We must sacrifice significant parts of our lives. It can be habits or culture, reasoning, and values to be transformed into God's jewels. To be transformed into one of God's jewels, we have to sacrifice our life, our habits, cultures, whatever it might be. It might be different things for different people. We will have to sacrifice. In Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. That we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God, when God wants to make something nice out of man, He takes us and He takes us through difficulties sometimes. He takes us through things that we have to suffer. We have to let go of some of our things that we hold near and dear to us. Speaking to myself, that I have that problem just as much as anybody else here, of not wanting to let go. But if we want to be used, if we want to shine for God, if we want to be one of those shiny jewels for God, we need to allow God to work in our life. A godly man sees God by faith and seeks to order his life in the way that is pleasing to him. As he does so, the Lord keeps him in the path of righteousness and eternal life, safe and secure from all alarm. So God will protect us. If we seek to follow Him, if we seek to serve God, He will protect us. He will keep us safe and secure. Even though we go through hard times sometimes, go through things that we just don't see why we would have to. But if we know our best, we allow God to have His way and just give ourselves up for Him. He will keep us safe and secure from all alarm. I'm not saying that accidents do happen and believers do get killed and believers do get hurt. And I'm not saying that God will protect us from not getting hurt or not getting killed in accidents and things like that do happen. And we should all realize that. I believe we all realize that. God is the one. He's the one of whom we read in Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we allow God, our shepherd, to guide us, we have contentment. When we can just totally give ourselves to God and allow Him to do whatever He wants to in our life, we're content. We're content with that. We should be content with that. We are, if we are totally given over to Him. Contentment is where God wants us. But when we choose to sin, we go our own way, and we cannot blame God for the environment we create it for ourselves. Our shepherd knows the green pasture and the still waters that will restore us. We will reach these places only by following Him, our shepherd, our God. Isaiah 43, verse 1, 2, and 3. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel. God has formed us. God has created us and redeemed us. We are important to God. We bear His wonderful name. We should never do anything that would bring shame to it. Going through the river of difficulty, we will either cause you to drown or it will force you to grow stronger. If you go in on your own strength, you are more likely to drown. If you go in with God, if you allow God to go in with you, He will protect you and guide you. He will take you through it. So allow God to have His way with you. Just follow God. I thought the children's lesson was good this morning. The instruction, if you follow instruction, you are wise. But if you do not follow instruction, you are not wise. And the Bible says that the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. So if somebody gives instruction, or God's instruction is knowledge. If somebody went through things and gives instructions or says something, then we should take note of that. It might be somebody that had experience, and it might be one of those jewels that God is for God. Malachi 3, verse 16, 17, and 18. Brings out that verse that is on this sheet of paper here about being God's jewel. Malachi is just before you get to the New Testament. Says, and they that feared the Lord shall speak one to another, and the Lord hearkenest and hear it, and the book of remembrance was written before him for them that fears the Lord and that brought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves to him. Then shall ye return. Oh, that's not on there. Yes, it is. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. God listens to what we say. He wants to hear us speak. Speak to and help others during these stressful times. He does not like to hear judgmental and condemning conversation among his people. Which I feel probably more guilty in that than anyone else. I'm not bringing that upon anybody else other than just me. But words of encouragement that spur others into standing fast in God. He likes to hear brethren urging each other to fix their attention on the true teachings of God and to have faith in what he is doing. And soon God will make us his jewels, a special treasure for himself. Those who obey God, those who walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, and realize that God was with them. We need to realize the dangerous times and attitudes into which we can be dragged. We must stay focused upon what God is working out in our lives and in the lives of others, wherever they may be fellowshipping. By doing so, we can fight against Satan's influences and overcome them in faith. God is preparing his own special, peculiar people, and he will bring them all to a full and wonderful salvation. A wonderful salvation, that bright and shiny jewel that he is wanting to make us in a one of those nice shiny jewels that he wants. God's people are called jewels. A jewel is made from a raw material that is exposed to time, heat, and pressure to change it into a valuable gemstone. The stone must then be cut in order for its real beauty to be seen. You know, if you're mining these stones or getting them, if you just see them, it's not that real, just in a stone, it's not that real nice and shiny jewel. But you have to get him and take him and clean him and brush him and grind a little bit off here and a little bit off there. To make it in a real shiny jewel, you have to do a lot of work. The stone must be then cut in order for a real beauty to be seen. A craftsman takes the stone and chips away a rough edge, minimizes a fall, polishes and puts it in just the right spot, the right place to display its beauty. God will put us in just the right place to show the to show His beauty. It's not actually, I wouldn't actually say that it's our beauty, but it's the beauty that we can bring out that is God, to glorify God. It's only what God gives us and shows us, you know, to do and to act for Him. We have to be willing to allow God to make us into a jewel. We have to ask Him to chip and to polish where needed. Because when God begins to make a jewel, He doesn't stop until it's done. He keeps on working. If you allow Him, He keeps on working you here and there a little bit, and to make you more shiny, to make you more shine for Him. We don't have nothing beauty of ourselves. It's only what we allow God to do in us, to show the glory of God to man, to the world. God will remember those who remain faithful to Him and who love and fear and honor and respect Him. Stones were used to build the temple, or the foundation, especially the foundation of the temple. And they were beautiful stones. 1 Kings 5, verse 17 and 18. 1 Kings 5, verse 17 and 18. And just to... Before that, this is where they were. Solomon was getting ready to build the temple, and I thought it was kind of interesting the way he organized some of this. He's chosen 30,000 men to work for him there, and I'm not exactly sure how far they had to go to bring some of these stones, but I know it was a long ways. And he picked out these men, the 30,000 men. He put them on three different groups, you might say. So he sent out the first group in 10,000, and they were there for a month. And they came back, and the other 10,000 went and worked for a month, and they came back, and then the other 10,000 went. So they were working for a month, and then he came back home for 2 months. I thought that was kind of interesting, the way he worked that out, where they could be home with their families for 2 months and then go on 1 month and come back. And he was looking after the families, I believe. He was not just trying to have them away from home all the time. But it's very interesting in some of these... chapters where it talks about building the temple and what all he went through. It's kind of interesting in some of that. But here in verse 17 and 18, it says, "And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone quarriers. So they prepared timber and stones to build the house." So we're not just told, you know, what all kind of stones they used there, but we know there were costly stones, there were great stones, and huge stones. And one other thing that they did to build the temple, all those stones and timber and stuff was cut out and chipped out away from not where they built up the temple. They were all prepared, and they brought them there to build the temple. And it says somewhere that not a hammer was heard there. They were so perfectly cut out, and everything. The people brought many great stones, costly stones, and huge stones. They brought them from a long ways off. They had to work hard to get them there. It's not like it is these days. We have trucks and things we can do those things quite a bit easier, I think, than what they did back then. Blocks of stone, granite or marble, whatever it might have been, are not hewn out of rocks easily. If rocks could speak, they probably would complain bitterly about the harshness of the chisel and the saw. But they can't speak, so they just sit there and accept it. How do we take it if God takes that chisel and chips away on us? We too are required to endure hardships and setbacks. Suffering is part of the process of quarrying, sizing, and polishing, and preparing us, the living stone, for our role in God's kingdom. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And I think verse 8 or 9 somewhere is what I really want, but I just thought it was such a good chapter that I might just to start reading in verse 1 and read it through verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. I believe there's something in this whole chapter for all of us. It's not just for the elder, not just for whoever, whatever the name is there. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Partaker of that glory that shall be revealed. I like that. Will be revealed someday. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensample to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Ye all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. So in verse 9 there, where it talks about knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. I'm not sure if I understand exactly what that is saying, but the people in the world go through some of the same afflictions that we as God's children. Or we as God's children go through some of the same afflictions that the world does. Even though our response should be different. Our response should be different than the people of the world. When God is working away on us, when God is chipping away on us, our response should be different than the world's response. And then in verse 10, it talks about, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen. So God is working on us to make us more perfect, to get us to get established and strengthen us. God allows some of those afflictions to come our way, not to discourage us, but to strengthen us, to make us more perfect. If we allow God to chip away on our life, chip away our self, to make us more perfect. When going through trials, do we first think of asking God to ease the pain or heal us quickly? Or we do ask Him to finish in us what He started? If you're going through trials and things, then it's because God is making you His jewel. He wants you as His jewel. Lion attacks sick young animals. They choose victims who are alone or not alert. Peter tells us to watch out for Satan. When we are suffering or persecuted, feeling alone, weak, helpless, and cut off from other believers, so focused on our troubles that we forget to watch for danger, that is where Satan wants us. Stay connected with believers, so Satan will not have dominion over you. Keep your eyes on Christ, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't allow Satan to deceive you in situations when the devil tries to make you think, oh, it's so hard. Don't you just want to give up? Don't you just want to come with me? Don't let Satan take you away from God. Even Jesus experienced persecution, suffering. He felt helpless and weak, cut off from others. And God perfected him in his role. In Luke 22, verse 39 through 44. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Praying helps a lot. Prayer gives you power. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So Christ there knew that he was going to have to suffer. Was Jesus trying to get out of his mission? Because he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. No, I don't believe so. It was not wrong to express, it's not wrong to express our feelings to God. Jesus exposed his dread of the coming trials, but he also reaffirmed his commitment to do what God wanted. See, he said there, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He prayed about it. He prayed. he asks God if it's not, you know, if it's not necessary to go through it. If he sees some other way, but he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So sometimes we go through things, or we know we have to go through things, and we just wonder, is it necessary? Do we have to? Sometimes we might try to get out of it some other way. But let's remember that Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And if we remember that our great example, Jesus had left for us, that should encourage us to as well tell the Father, thy will be done, not mine. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. He will not, God will not take us into anything or allow us that he will not also make a way that we can go through it. If we don't, if we can't make it through it, it's not because of that God didn't want to help us or helped us. It's because of our own situation or our own self. And in the Bible, we read of different people that face temptations, persecution, and hardships. It's like Jesus went through. I think Joseph is another one. Went through a lot in his lifetime. Was it Pharaoh's wife tempted him? And then he was thrown into jail, into prison. And there for a long time, God was working in his life, chipping away some of the burrs to make him a more beautiful jewel. I think David was another one. He was running from Saul. Saul was trying to kill him for a long time. And he even was married to the king's daughter. And later the king gave his wife to somebody else, I believe. And then, of course, David, we know how he fell into sin and things like that. But he repented and God took him and made a jewel out of him. God uses those things in our life, our suffering, to make us his jewels. What kind of a jewel are you? I know that some of the jewels out there, some of them are worth more than others. And I don't know which one, you know, which one's which, but I think, no, I don't know. And I don't know that God looks at it that way. I'm not saying that he does at all. If we love God and follow him, then I believe we're all in the same level of love that God has for us, or however you want to say that. God's jewels bring delight to his heart. We read about it in Isaiah 62, verse 1 through 5. It says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. That righteousness that shines, and that salvation thereof as a burning lamp. And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And there shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. There shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, I'm not sure if I pronounced that right, and thy land Beul, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. God rejoices over his jewels. God loves his jewels. And what he loves more is if he can take his jewels and work on them and polish them and make them more bright and shiny. That's what God wants from his jewels. He wants to make them nice and shiny. Zephaniah 3:16-17 says, in the day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, and to Zion, let not thine hand be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save thee. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. When the Lord looks at his jewels, he bursts forth with singing. He greatly rejoices in his jewels. It makes him sing. So he continued to do his work of making us in jewels through whatever means he must employ. God does not worry whether we like it or not. His purpose is to make us into jewels, who in turn will give pleasure to the very heart of God. He makes us into these jewels and that he really likes, and he enjoys them. If you are among those who fear the Lord, what can we say to you today? Rejoice, ye are God's jewels, his treasured possession. What is the purpose of the trials? To make you sparkle more. The greater the heat, the purer the gold. The harder the washing, the whiter the garment. God is determined to accomplish his purpose of making us perfect, holy, and blameless in his sight. May God continue to work in us to make his jewels, and may we look forward to that day when God will rejoice over us and break forth into singing, when he beholds what his hands have made, a church that is glorious, without stain, without wrinkle. One day we will bring pleasure to the heart of him who is the treasure of our heart and our heritage forever. One day we will see him of whom we sing, I am my beloved and he is mine. The banner over us is love. And this will be communion and life eternal. Do we let God finish his jewels, or do we insist on our own designs? We should remember that all things work together for good to them who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So let's be a jewel for God and allow God to make us shiny and brighter every day, every year, as the years goes on. And may the Lord bless you all.